Jema. So we continue with notes on the way, which, as we know, are some of the most profound experiences of the mother. I don't like to use the word last experiences, because the experiences are going on at another level. Another thing which I don't, some people assume based on the written word that did the mother finally transform her body or not. Now, if you have to be very neutral, you can say to an extent it was transformed according to this document, but there are many things she has not said. So if she has not said, we should not presume. We should try to understand. This is important, because always the written word or even the spoken word is a restriction and a limitation. And all true mystics and yogis, they don't reveal everything that they are experiencing and they are going through. So we should understand that the written word has its limitations, and many people who draw conclusions based only on that. Srivinda himself mentioned that what he has expressed is only 10% of the total knowledge that he has. And Nirodha asked him that, why don't you give us the rest? He said, first you prepare yourself with this. And it is so true. So with this background, now we are entering 72. But before that, there is a very interesting experience which the mother narrates. We have just touched upon it. And this is on 1st July 1970, where she says, I had an experience which was for me interesting, because it was for the first time. It was yesterday or the day before. I do not remember. X was there just in front of me. So X is an American disciple whose name given by the mother was Rijuta. So, and I saw her psychic being dominating over her so much, gesture indicating about 20 centimeters. So all these ideas that soul cannot be seen, it is formless, it is an essence, all this is based on lack of the deepest experiences. So the mother and Shobindo went way beyond. So when they are saying, just imagine, like a scientist, they are describing 20 centimeters almost literally. It was the first time. Her physical being was small and her psychic being was so much bigger. So it was beyond the body, 20 centimeters around. And it was an unsexed being, neither man nor woman. This not to be understood as the modern woke ideas, because woke idea, what has happened is many of these profound truths have been inverted. This is what we see happening all through the history, that there are some profound truths, they get inverted, like communism inverted the profound truth of equality. So even recently someone asked that, you know, they talk about equality. Yes, but what equality? Equality at a biological level, equality at a material level. But the true spirituality, true equality is a spiritual equality. Now, if you have the spiritual equality, the difference is, if you have spiritual equality, you can allow for infinite variations. You can have diversity and multiplicity. But if you talk about material equality, then it's very difficult to allow for variation. This is what we see in the communist state. So there is an inversion of the true value. Same with freedom. All of us want freedom. We all love freedom. But the freedom, the gospel of freedom that comes from the West, that's a gospel which leads us to a worst kind of enslavement. It's a slavery that we have to, you know, be at the mercy of every desire, every preference, every passing thought, every opinion. So we have to understand very carefully, because people say, oh, mother spoke about genderless bodies. So today when people are talking about, you know, all these things, is the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. Because what you are reducing it to, ultimately, a most, you know, outer thing. I mean, basically you are allowing a person to have, it's okay, nothing wrong with, you know, people can be gay, lesbian, doesn't matter from the truth point of view. But don't mistake it for the genderless body or the sexless body. Unsexed, he has used the word unsexed. It's very interesting. Neither man nor woman. Then I said to myself, but it is the psychic being, it is that which will materialize itself and become the supramental being. So the key again and again is with the psychic being. So if we don't find it and try all kinds of things of, you know, calling some golden light or this or that or all kinds of experiences, it is the psychic being which has to develop, because psychic being is the seed actually in which everything is there, including the supramental possibility. It's the psychic being which, you know, brings out of itself all the different possibilities of living and then, you know, mind worlds. So this is the seed. It is from this seed that everything is going to emerge. And then she says, there were particularities, but these were not well marked. And it was clearly a being that was neither man nor woman, having the combined characteristics of both. And it was bigger than the person and in every way overtopped her by about so much. So once again she describes. She was there and it was like this and it had this color. She describes the color. It's the orange color. Which if it became quite material would be the color of Auroville. It was fainter, as though behind a veil. It was not absolutely precise, but it was that color. There was hair on the head, but it was somewhat different. Perhaps this, the popular mind is catching this imagination, trying to do all kinds of things to hair, to body and appearances. But this is the deeper truth. That's a distortion. We must know the difference. It was as though that being were telling me, but you are busy looking to see what kind of being the supramental will be. There it is. There. It is that. And it was there. It was the psychic being of the person. So one understands. One understands. The psychic being materializes itself and that gives continuity to evolution. This creation gives altogether the feeling that there is nothing arbitrary. There is a kind of divine logic behind and it is not like our human logic. It is very much superior to ours, but there is one and that was fully satisfied when I saw this. So she speaks about this materialization of the psychics and the supramental possibility is what is going to emerge next. So basically concentration or focus should be on this particular door. Okay, now we come to 72 and there the mother describes something very beautiful and that's a new body. Now it's interesting because many people see the timing of these things. So the mother has had the vision of a new body earlier. So on 25th March 1972, she describes it. There is a disciple who even asked her, how can we see the new body? She said, you can see it, but you have to develop it, develop yourself to a point. And that's what Nalini Das saw when he saw the new body. So why this is important? Because many times all kinds of misinformed people suddenly, like, somebody asked a question. Shobindu said that only his consciousness will be there and not he as a person. I think the other day I was sharing this. So a consciousness that is conscious of itself is by its nature being. Don't disconnect like we compartmentalize. This is consciousness. That is existence. In the divine they are all one. Satchidananda. And we have a limited existence, a limited consciousness and limited ananda. This habit to cut into pieces. And then the mother herself has said, Sri Aurobindo promised that he will be present in here, not just as a consciousness that illumines, but as a dynamic presence. All of him will be present. And there are several other places where the mother says that you can see him and this experience of so many people. So one has to understand that they are not just here as a consciousness, but as a being in a new body. Now, when people say that, is this body the supramental body? Well, we have to read the mother and we can draw our own conclusions. But in this yoga, someone even wonders that, did it fail? It's too hard a word. But well, it's like this. You try something which has never ever been attempted or even imagined. Now, when you try such a project, the word failure never applies. Because every inch of ground you have gained is a way forward. So, question can be asked whether there was the complete victory or not. That we have discussed. But there is no question of failure, because these questions were asked even by the disciples. I mean, there is that famous Nalnidas writing on a Canadian question. And those days disciples said, well, it has been postponed. But not quite so. If you look at it, it's a project which carries on. To an extent, it goes on in the body, and to next level, it goes on when one has created the new body in the subtle physical and now is precipitating it. And the reason why I say so is because actually all physical bodies have been formed that way. First things come to the subtle physical and they are ready. Then it tends to precipitate into matter and creates a physical body. So we have already read about that, and now the mother describes, yes, but I was like that. It was myself. I did not see myself in a mirror. I saw myself like that. So what is the difference? She is not seeing from here herself. See the difference. She is seeing herself. So how do you see yourself? You have to bend your head. So she describes. She says, mother bends her head to look at her body. I was like that. It was for the first time. So why like these precisions? Almost, I don't know if any, even a scientist would document like this. Look at it. It was at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was quite natural. I did not look in a mirror. I was quite natural. I remember only what I saw. Gesture from the chest to the waist. I had only a veil on me, so I saw only it was the trunk that was quite different from the chest down to the waist. Neither man nor woman. So once again she is reminding us. And it was pretty. I had a form very, very slim, very slender. Very slender but not thin. And the skin was very white. The skin was like my skin. But no sex. You could not see. Neither man nor woman. Sex had disappeared. See, that is the divine solution to all these problems. So, there is a body which is going to come, which does not have that gender issue. So, all this, what will happen, I don't know, to all this gender bias and gender discrimination, all these, this collapses because this is a new creation. There is no such thing. But if we go through Sri Aurobindo's writings toward the end, he says, body will be without gender, but there would be a masculine and feminine, that subtle element, the differentiation in the mode of expression. And he says, because it has a subtle truth in the Ishwara and Ishwari. So that subtle truth, masculine and feminine. Unwanted protuberances. Yes, unwanted protuberances. That's right, absolutely. It's so grotesque, actually. After a time, you begin to feel that kind of grotesqueness about it. But all these things will disappear, all unwanted protuberances. Also there, mother points to the chest, all that, nothing. I do not know how to say it. It was like a semblance, but had no form at all. Not even as much as men have. So she speaks about the chest, it all those breasts and all those. And this is something which has begun to happen. Now you don't get a pure feminine body or a pure masculine body. Things are beginning to change in that direction. A very white skin, all very even. No belly, so to say. The stomach, no stomach. All that was slim. And she says that his food will be very different. He'll not need food the way, you know. So how will the person eat? Even the lungs, that also she described, breathing would be changed. So the mother is asked, how will the person then draw energy? This is directly from everywhere, from the skin, from whatever. You'll literally you'll become what is shown in Ramayana as Hanumanji eating the sun. Too premature. But possibly man will just absorb the sun, absorb the energy, because Shakti is everywhere. Lungs are only a means which have been created. So lungs, intestine, sexual differentiation gone. So if the intestines go, stomach goes, that means liver goes. That means kidneys go, because all this is connected to the stomach. Because you are putting in your body something, it has to be digested, absorbed, put into circulation. Circulation will be there, but as a dynamic pulsation of energy. All this is not right here, but Mother has described that the heart will become a dynamic center to take in energy and pump it into the system. So there would be something like that which corresponds to what we today call as the circulatory system. And nervous system will accordingly undergo a change. So, but basically, the body right now is extremely complex because of the evolutionary process. So all that complexity will be simplified. So what will happen to the food industry? I don't know. Anyways, that's their problem. If you are looking 200 years ahead, don't start a restaurant, huh? Surely, it's not a good idea. Somebody asked the mother, Mother, if we won't, you mean that food, all these things will not be important, then what will be the joy of living? So Mother says, if you are still wanting that joy of living, forget about the new creation, continue. But each such joy comes with a big baggage of many kinds of adivyadi suffering. Well, I did not pay any special attention because I was like that and I found it quite natural. It was the first time and it was in the night, the day before yesterday. So that's how she describes. Also, it was clear that there should not be any complicated process of digestion nor of elimination as now. It was not like that. And if you read record of yoga, Shubhendu has actually done experiments on that. This is one of the siddhis where the waste which is coming out of the body, elimination, that is reduced to a minimum. And one of the things that he experimented upon was that how can the waste be completely eliminated? Now these are things which go way beyond what human mind can conceive and imagine. So all that we can say is to bow down in gratitude and silence, because this will be the final solution of the problem of the earth. Problem of food, problem of, you know, all kinds of resources which become less and less. So, but how? Evidently the food is already very different and becoming more and more different. But how is the body itself going to change? So food, she spoke at another place that she was very happy that when people went to space, they eat space food, which is like a capsule in which you have everything necessary for the body to absorb. So she was very happy that they are making some progress in that direction. Now, one thing I have observed, that today's children eat very little. And we, of course, still label them as anorexia, but I really don't know whether it's anorexia or something else, because they eat very little. Earlier, anorexia was because of looks and found only in the UK. But now many children in India, I know of, they don't, and they are quite energetic, they are creative, everything is there. But if you look at the yardsticks, that their weight, then they will classify as underweight. And even their body, that flattening. I know some children who don't want actually the secondary sexual characters. It's very strange and very interesting, because things are changing. Right now we call them abnormal. Doctors try to treat them. But we really don't know. It's tomorrow it may be a new normal. Simply, it was neither the body of a woman nor the body of a man. That is clear. And the outline, the silhouette, was almost the same as that of a very, very young person. There was a sort of semblance to human forms. There was a shoulder and a figure as though the semblance of a form. So I don't know how many people have seen this body of the mother. So I can share it here openly that I have seen this body of the mother. And there are many others who have seen it. You have classic experience of Nalanda. So there is this body which is already there. Now, why Shribi is, under what conditions, what are its impacts, I don't know. But there is this body which exists. And surely, I have one simple reason why people say that after this, why doesn't she speak? She speaks of this as the supramental body. But why doesn't she speak of that supramental body crystallized to be visible to us? So there are two reasons for it. One is our sight has not developed to perceive it, that she describes, because her sight and hearing are undergoing great change. Several places she speaks about the transmutation of sight and hearing. But the other part is, that's something which I feel from the heart. And that's because Sri Aurobindo said he will come in the first supramental body created in the supramental way. So there is a part where the body will be created by crossing over to the other side. Because if you do it this way, then it means the process will always be dependent upon a human body reaching a point. But the moment it becomes created in the supramental way, then it changes. And the first body has to be Sri Aurobindo's. So the mother would not come in the first supramental body. That's my feeling. And I have a feeling that this is a correct feeling. So the two things, very, very different. First, procreation, of which there was no possibility there. So people ask, what will happen to children? Don't worry. There are many who want only children. They are happy with children. Human species, that's how it will be like that. Like we sometimes say, mother spoke of this in context of Auroville, perhaps it's documented. At one of the places he says, they are breeding like cats and dogs. So there are people who will probably be happy with having children and all this. And it's not about right and wrong. It's about where one belongs in the evolutionary journey. So if you have one child or two child, okay. If you have no child, very good. You are in the race for the new species. So one thing is this, and secondly, the food. But it is quite clear that the food now is not that of chimpanzees nor that of the first men. It is very different. And now the question is to find a food that needs no complicated digestion. Here, it seems to me that the food should not be positively liquid, but not solid either. So many hints he is giving. Future food. It's another very interesting thing. This is a phenomenon I observe in Desiree and Care. I don't know if, now naturally people won't have seen. So for various reasons, because of age. But I have seen people age outside also. I mean, in our own families. And people want to eat food. Till the last day they want to eat food. Unless there is a disease because of which they cannot. So they eat food, you know, feed them, and they have a set of teeth, all this for chewing. Many people in Desiree, they actually eat food which is neither liquid nor solid. And they like it. Mash everything together and take it. It's like a kind of, not stew exactly, but something like that, where it's sort of combined. You can come and see it. Huh? You can come and see it sometimes during lunch time, dinner time. So they have this and they are very happy. And mix everything and make some kind of a, not khichdi, it's kind of, yeah. Huh? Smoothie, yeah, that's the right word. Smoothie has come in the market. So this is our Desiree smoothie. So that kind of a thing which people have. So maybe it's something going on in that direction. So she says. And there is the question of the mouth, the teeth. Evidently, there is no more need of chewing. And so the teeth have no more. But there must be something in that place. How anatomically she is looking at it. That I do not know at all how the face was, because she has not seen the face. Something will be there. It won't be the teeth, but something else. So, what is that? Evidently, what will change very much, which had become very important, was breathing. It is upon this that this being greatly depended. So breathing is also changing. Shobindo's poem Transformation says, my breath runs in a subtle stream. And yogis are known that if you go deeper into meditation, your breathing almost sort of comes to a standstill. Actually, it becomes very subtle. It doesn't come to a standstill, but it becomes very subtle. So, she says, the disciple says, probably it absorbs the energies directly. Mother says, yes. So, lungs go on. So, all these things will change. So, what's going to come is so. So, we are right now worried about pollution, ultraviolet rays. Who knows? All this is going to trigger a massive change in the body. Just like it triggered change from fins and gills to the lungs in the amphibians and the reptiles. That's how the change took place. Like fish breathes in a different way. And then human beings much later breathe through these lungs. We cannot. We'll die if we go that way. So probably something very new which will directly absorb energy. This is an experience which people can have even now, though we still need breathing. But how there is an exchange of energy. There is an energy which depresses us. We feel tired, exhausted. There is an energy which uplifts us. We suddenly feel so much enthused. All the tiredness as if has been swept away. So there are means of energy transaction which will become much more prominent. And then she says, but probably there will be intermediary beings that will not last very long. Like the intermediary beings that were between the chimpanzee and man. Means that there may be people whom we today call as so many illnesses. And we are wondering what's happening. But through all this, the body is undergoing a kind of transmutation. So she has spoken of intermediary beings who will, you know, have all these changes. So all this is March 72. And then she... She sees a very interesting image. And the image is of a child dancing on the head. It's an image which reminds us, of course, of Sri Krishna on the Kalya, because it's very interesting, because she speaks of the subconscious and she speaks of the child dancing over the head. I have more and more the feeling that there is only one way. Mother laughs. It makes an amusing picture. Sit upon the mind. Sit upon the mind. Keep quiet. You sit upon the mind. Keep quiet. And then she says something very interesting. In the subconscious, there is the memory of bygone pralayas. So it is this memory that always gives the feeling that everything will be dissolved. Everything will collapse. So as I was mentioning, that if you see around just before 2000, there were so many, that time I think podcasts and all this were relatively new, but there was talk about Pralay or Doomsday, Y2K, and then there were movies which are about Doomsday, isn't it? There are movies like that. 2020 was regarded as a watershed. Yeah, Ice Age, all this. Now, if you see, there are movies about when is Satyug coming. Satyug has already started. Even in Kumbh Mela, there is a lady who declared, now there will be no more Kumbh because now people have entered Satyug. So people asked her, who has told you all this? She says, Mahakal and Mahakali. She says, I can't help it. They have, and all that she was saying was pretty making sense. She says, all these babas and all will be not required anymore because there is this going to be. Satyug has started. People asked her that, what do you mean it's going to come? He said, no, it has started. So people said, but scriptures say this. Scriptures may say many things. Imagine, you know, it's like change of time. So now many videos are coming about Satyug, prophecies of Satyug. When will Satyug come? Has it come? Because now that pralaya memory has been cleansed, slowly is being cleansed from the memory, the subconscious. Ah, my child, we have no faith. As soon as one has faith, we say we want the divine life, yet we are afraid of it. But as soon as fear goes away and we are sincere, everything changes truly. So there are two things. One thing we have to want, one we don't have to want. And she says very beautifully, one is we want the divine life. We may understand nothing about it, doesn't matter. But we want the divine life. Second is we say, we do not want any more this life. But then she says, and there is something that clings to it. That's where we have to remember. We cling to the old world, but we say that we want the new creation, new world, new way. It is so ridiculous. We cling to our old ideas, our old, to this old world which must disappear. And we are afraid. And the divine child seated on the head of the mind and playing. I wish I could draw this picture. It is wonderful. This reminds me of a little interaction that, you know, people often talk about old things, superstition, from a scientific point of view. So there was a scientist who was saying, oh, these old things and superstition. I said, you are also being as superstitious as dogmatic. What do you mean? I said, you are also old world, believing that reason and senses are ultimate. Ultimately, science, statistics, all based on observation. These observations, you're not observing many things that are taking place behind. So your observation is incomplete. If your observation is incomplete, your data is incomplete. If your data is incomplete, your analysis is incomplete. And then the mind tries to draw a conclusion. What really helps? You may have given a medicine and the person is cured, but who knows what are the forces that are acting from behind. And if you can handle them directly, it's like how allopathy developed. It developed when from Ayurveda you picked up the extracts. But could be there is something which is yet behind, a direct transfer of energy. After all, that's how Sri Aurobindo healed. So man may discover new ways completely of healing. And then we look back and often, I almost jokingly say that when the doctors of the future, maybe 100 years later, will look back and look at the surgeons today and they'll say, oh my God, they were butchers, they used to cut the body. Probably there'll be operations done by light and sound because it has the power to go inside and cleanse things. Maybe we'll discover that kind, those kind of remedies, how light and sound can interact. And when you come to sound, what possibilities from mantra to simply saying, you will be well. Who knows the sound impact? Because there is a logical understanding to it, because when you say you will be well, what happens? It goes into the ear, goes into your brain. So what happens? The brain has received a message, you will be well. And who knows, it turns the switch on to recovery and the body begins to recover itself. But of course, the doctor should not say you will be well and is thinking in his mind, oh, I am saying this for the sake of this fellow. Actually, he is inside the well and I can't do anything. It should be with that clarity of consciousness, with that inner certitude, focused. That's how people have healed. If you look back into Indian thought, I mean, how is it that when you hear about the monkeys getting injured in Ramayana, what does Rama do? As the story goes, Rama would go and, you know, put his hands around and say, you'll be fine, you'll be okay. And they all get up and they are all full of cheer. How is it that a war cry just instills such a courage in a human being that nothing matters at that point of time? So these are also sciences which we have not explored. So she says, the best remedy is what thou willest in all sincerity. And then comes understanding. Then you understand. But you do not understand mentally. It's not by intellectualizing. The understanding springs up. What thou willest. So this is very powerful, profound secret she has revealed, and there's so much more that she has not revealed. Then 6th May 72, the mother starts the conversation by saying, I believe I already told you that there is as though a golden force which is pressing down, that has no material consistence and yet seems to be tremendously heavy, and which is pressing upon matter, thus to compel it to turn toward the divine, inwardly. Not an outward escape, but inwardly to turn to the divine. And so the apparent result is as though catastrophes were inevitable. And yet along with this perception of inevitable catastrophe, there are at the same time solutions to the situation. Events which come about that are by themselves altogether miraculous. It is as though the two extremes were becoming more extreme. As though what is good was becoming better and what is bad becoming worse. All this is prophesied. Now people talk about it. Yes, because they are both touching their extreme. That's what we see in Savitri. That the change that takes place, death also becomes more and more, you know. He's changing slowly but also going toward the last resistances. And as the resistances increase, the Divine Mother also, ultimately she reveals a full divine form. And then death dies, submits, and even then it resists. Because that light is like a luminous torture in its heart, light is like a torture in the nerves. So all this is happening simultaneously. So the same process we'll see. And she has given this message also in 72. Before dying, falsehood rises to its full swing. So all this is part of the process. It is like that. With the formidable power that is pressing upon the world. Yes, it is felt like that. And then in the circumstances, many things that happen generally in an indifferent way become acute. That will make us understand many things about the ashram, about the world, all the events that are going on. And she's explained that. That either things will take... Corona was a very classical instance where many died. But equally there were people, some people, and quite a sizable number, who showed tremendous leap of faith. In that period, for people to refuse vaccine, I don't think it has ever happened earlier. And to go by this, that well, a body can heal it. It's strange how this faith awakened in the human body. Yes, it is felt like that. And then in the circumstances, many things that happen generally in an indifferent way become acute. Situations, differences become acute. Bad wills become acute. And at the same time, extraordinary miracles. Extraordinary. People are saved who were about to die. Things that were inextricable all of a sudden get sorted out. So she is saying this is how the process is. So when you go through that process, understand, remember that night is darkest before the dawn. How many nights will come? That's a different story altogether. But and then the individual also, it is the same thing. They who know how to turn inwards, who sincerely call the divine, who feel that it is the only salvation, the only way out, and who sincerely give themselves, then in a few minutes it becomes wonderful. For the smallest things, there is nothing small or big, important or unimportant. The values change. It is, as it were, to give an idea of the change in the world by the descent of the supramental. And so now she is reminding us something very important for all of us. Truly, things that were neutral become absolute. A little error becomes categorical in its consequences. And a little sincerity, a little true aspiration becomes miraculous in its results. So everything is intensified. Such clarity of the roadmap. So one small error, you have big consequences. One little change, even during that phase, one little sincerity, and it completely changes the whole course. So this is what is going to happen as things go on. And it goes very far. So So she says that it's not about fault or anything like that. All those ideas, error, mistakes, all that is gone. It's very simple. The whole creation must want nothing but the divine. Nothing but to manifest the divine. And all that it does, even all its so-called errors, are only means towards making it inevitable for the whole creation to manifest the divine. But not the divine as man conceives him to be. This and not that. So saying, manifest the divine means what? So we still have this idea of a person sitting in akar robes, sitting and saying some mantras, reading some scriptures. And who declared the world is ultimately? You are worldly people. So mother says, but not the divine as man conceives him to be. This and not that. With all kinds of restrictions, a totality of tremendous power and light. It is truly the power in the world, a new and tremendous power. So she says the supermind is creating, sensitizing matter to become more receptive to the divine. And that's what we should take advantage of, if we may use the word. Instead of going back to the old ways, she says a little aspiration, little faith. Rules of the game have changed. So we have to understand that she came to change the rules of the game and she's changed the rules of the game. I have come to this conclusion. I have looked, I have observed, and I have seen that what we call supramental, lacking a better word, this supramental makes the creation more sensitive to the higher power. And she says, this is the protection and the means of defense for supramental beings. It will be a thing which is not material in appearance, but which has a greater power over matter than material things. This is becoming more and more true from day to day. So many experiences all of us have. I have had plenty, including the most recent cough, thank God. So many people, all the, leave it, she will take care. And ultimately, it gets resolved, matter takes care, and no harm in taking kantavati, it's okay. Simple things. But eventually, it is taken care of. But it's a tremendous faith that is required. I mean, you can't suggest it as a remedy. If a patient comes, I can't write, you know, take faith, 2 teaspoonful, 3 times a day. Because, well, if something happens to the fellow, he will say, you gave me this remedy. One has to want it. And I have seen all kinds of things, including a case of cancer, Shardadi in dining room, who had, she refused the surgery and could about 20 or 30 years she continued to live. She ultimately left her body in the normal way. So there are maybe some instances, but they are an opening into a new possibility. Again, please do these things under sufficient precaution. But there are people who are ready for this and it is happening in them. I had this experience. They keep saying jokingly, I am a corona expert because I had at least 3 times. And the first case, one of the first cases of corona I had, with fever going to 106 point something, and interventions take place, things happen, you just don't know. Something moves something, and people, situations, circumstances. And we stayed in the nursing home. That time, fortunately, nobody knew about corona. Otherwise, would have sent me for sure. So it went like a fever, and I kept telling them that this is a new mutant something. I kept telling them that this is neither chikungunya nor dengue. This is a mutant. So they got the blood tested and it was neither chikungunya nor dengue. I said, see, this is a mutant variant. The fever had gone to 106.2. And then intervention, and next day or after 2 days, I had a Savitri camp. Same group. And that too was carried on. I was used to feel breathless at night. Then I lost sense of taste. So I was very happy that now my, you know, this habit of taking sweets is gone. I don't feel like eating sweets. Good about 3 months, I wouldn't enjoy a sweet. And I used to say, such a lovely way of getting rid of sweets. Much later, all this sense of smell goes, taste gets altered, breathlessness, it all continued. And the camp was taken, morning, evening. We completed Savitri, book 1, canto 1 and 2. It's all there. You'll probably see some cough, or maybe Sushila has done some very good work at editing it. So these are things which are going to happen. We have to just be open. And there comes but one essential condition: the reign of the ego must be ended. The ego is now the obstacle. Now, ego is, of course, a big subject. So ego is not about egoism. It's about the sense of identification with the body, mind and vital, which gives the sense of separativeness. That must go, this identification. Shobindu, the ego must be replaced by the divine consciousness. Shobindu himself called it supramental. We can call it supramental so that there might not be any misunderstanding. Because when one speaks of the divine, immediately people think of a god. And that spoils everything. So you see, supramental is consciousness of the creator. It is the divine in his creative mode. That's it. A world which wants to take a body in the world. And finally, just quickly we'll just read two more things. One is on 28th December 72, the disciple asks about Sri Aurobindo's action. How is it today? So she says, there is a difference in the power of for action. So when Sri Aurobindo is in his physical body and when he is in his whatever, that subtle body, new body, supramental body, what is the difference? So Mother is saying there is a difference in the power for action. He himself possesses more action, more power for action now than when in his body, because the body is a limitation. So you see, it completely changes our understanding. Because people often say that, well, now Sri Aurobindo, where is Mother? So, but actually the power, because body is a limitation, he's no more limited. That was a work for which he had limited himself. Now it's much more intense, much more powerful. Besides, it is for that he left, because it was necessary to act in that way. It is very concrete. His action has become very concrete. Evidently, it is something which is not at all mental. It is from another region. It reminds me, just before we read the last bit, of somebody who was saying yesterday that I feel connected with Mother, but I don't feel so much connected with Sri Aurobindo. So of course I said they are one and the same. I myself feel so naturally turned to Mother. But I said, you know, what is it you feel in Sri Aurobindo's presence? So the person said, yes, I want to know. I said, just think, Sri Aurobindo is sitting there. I can tell you, if you feel that presence, you will also feel that there is no power in this world that can touch you. To just be near him. He has to do nothing. He's sitting. It's a tremendous power. That's the feeling at least I get, that with Sri Aurobindo sitting there, there is nothing that can come near you. And Mother, of course, Mother is all love, everything. Normally we, of course, turn to Mother, but Sri Aurobindo's presence, it's like, I remember one experience of someone who saw that, you know, the first avatar who is letting people go through, that means like a pralaya experience. That first Matsavatar is representing a moment of pralaya, transition. So he's letting some people go and keeping away some others. So this person goes and that Matsavatar is in that angry mood. So he suddenly looks at her and says, suddenly she sees the ring of Mother on her finger and says, oh, Sri Aurobindo? And she says, yes. Okay, go. that experience of Medhananda also, Shurbindu's earth, it's so true. Just to feel, if ever there is any fear of any kind, this world, any world, Yama or Niyama or whatever, besieging. Of course, mother is mother. She will fight with death and snatch you from the jaws. But Sri Aurobindo's presence, it's like nothing can touch. It's so majestic, so wonderful. So actually the power and capacity for action has increased. So we may say, mother, what should we do? Okay, take home something. So she says, 30th December 72. She says, the body has one prayer and it is always the same. Make me worthy of knowing thee. Make me worthy of serving thee. Make me worthy of being thee. I feel in myself a growing force, but it is of a new quality. Nothing is impossible. 30th December 72. So people often ask, then what happened on 17th November 73? Look at the logic of events. 15th August 72 to 15th August 73 is Shurbindo's centenary. Everything would have been done by March 73. That's the time when she told Andre Da that she had decided to physically withdraw, means whatever could be transformed was transformed. Whatever is not ready is left behind. But, well, how can she leave without completion of the centenary? So when you understand the last 6 months of the mother from March onwards, 73 to November, and then after the centenary is over, 15th August 73, then slowly, then they say that she became like a docile child. And that's what she describes. So everything possible under the sun as far as work is concerned, they have completed. They are there not just as a consciousness, a light, but as a dynamic power, a presence and a being ready to help. So they have built the bridges, we have to walk the way. And for that, she says, there is only one solution for falsehood. It is to cure in ourselves all that contradicts in our consciousness the presence of the divine. And the last testament, as I say, 10th March 1973, last documented. Many things, as I said, the Leela is continuing. Sri Krishna Leela did not finish with Sri Krishna's departure at the hands of Jara. It began after that. Before that, it was his work. After the work, the Leela began. And then you see the entire unfolding of many historical events. Very clearly, and Sri Aurobindo says that, through the Mahabharata, Sri Krishna saved India. And because of that energy that he released and his presence, till the last effect of Sri Krishna's presence was the pyre of Rani Lakshmibai. Then you have a lull, and then Sri Krishna returns as Sri Aurobindo, if you want to put it like that, and carries on the evolution further. And then she says, I think that it is the only thing to let oneself be filled with that. 10th March 73. I am repeating always, what thou willest, what thou willest, what thou willest. Let it be what thou willest. May I do what thou willest. May I be conscious of what thou willest. And also, without thee it is death, and with thee it is life. All the rules of the game, deep meditation, samadhi, all this is there. But look where she has taken us. She has taken completely the charge of the human in her hands. And so she describes these last words, the last state, documented, as I say. All the while I have the feeling that I am a little baby who nestles within the divine consciousness, all embracing. So this is the state where we end up, like a baby nestling in the arms of the divine. Thank God, people have not turned it into a meditation technique which they will teach by charging some money. New technique of meditation. Imagine like this. See how simple it is. Her first prayer is like that. If you notice, nestling like a child in the arms of the divine. Her method was like that. When people would go to meet her, putting the head on the lap of the Divine Mother. She wants to make it easy for us. We have made supramental yoga so difficult and complicated. By all the philosophical diagrams, supermind, overmind. So sometimes when I see all that, now I don't see, but sometimes you have to sit in seminar and watch all that display. So I said, sir, where is the mind? They are all gone. As Amal Kiran wrote jokingly in meditation, looking at A.B. Purani, who would sit in meditation and his head would loll. No? He was after all a wrestler. And the neck used to be very thick. So he made a diagram and he wrote, undermined by the overmind. Completely. She takes us to that state. See, it's so difficult to be a baby because I am somebody. No? We are so proud introducing ourselves in those jackets and God knows car and coming down with a card, showing the card. You can't write in a card, baby, of mother's baby. So proud. And then you laugh, you know, when people do all these silly things. We will do it. All in good shoes and tip top. And then, so this is what we have to remember and become. All the while. I have the feeling that I am a little baby who nestles within the divine consciousness, all embracing. And I would say, all who turn to her with faith, she gives them this state. With faith and surrender. This is the highest state she has documented. A baby who completely trusts his mother, has abandoned itself entirely in her hands. So if, what does the baby say? I don't know what I need. What is good for me? What does the baby... If the baby could speak, he would say, as thou willest, as thou willest. Mama, I don't know. I don't even know what is good for me. You do what you think is best. Okay, Jema. So...